It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, what's up?
Had your eyes on the goggle box this week, have you?
I actually did. I actually managed to get in some quality TV time amongst the working and going out. So, yeah.
Good on you, Sam.
I've managed to, diversify my time across many different mediums.
Right. Well, so what have you got for us today, Sam?
So, if you're like me and you catch the bus, you'll see the ad for this show everywhere on the bus shelters.
Oh, is it?
So this is the...
This is Fresh Eggs, the TVNZ on-demand limited series.
What's that mean?
Six episodes, as opposed to like a full season. I think so. There might be a second season, but I haven't, delved into that part of my research.
Right.
I just watched the show. And because I don't really review enough New Zealand TV programs, because we do put out content in this country.
Yeah, a lot
of us don't look at it or watch it. So I thought I'd give it a bash. And it's like a dark comedy that focuses around two Aucklanders who move down to the middle of nowhere in the Wops.
Which is a classic story, classic concept, isn't it, really?
So relatable. Like, I want to get out of here. Everyone wants to get out of Auckland, but we're stuck here.
But I can still take my Auckland vibe elsewhere. Surely they appreciate it in this country.
Exactly not. And it's also like a dark comedy, and then it like kind of deals with like... I'm not going to give any spoilers, but they go... They basically have to...
I know that.
Deal with...
Yes, I know my ex-wife's in it. Thanks, Tess.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, this is great.
That's some solid producing right there. Thank you very much.
Well, I didn't know that. So now
the lovely Claire Chittum is one of the lead actors in the show, of course, which I was just going to politely sit here.
Were you holding on to this for the past half an hour and didn't tell me about it either?
No, I didn't realise until right now. Anyway.
Also, you have Cohen Holloway, who is Wade.
Who's a great actor as well.
Great actor.
So are they friends?
They play a married couple on the show.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Wade, the characters are Wade and Claire. You also got, there's this woman named Danielle Cormier, but she plays Lulu.
So Danielle Cormier has done a whole bunch of amazing stuff. She has been in Australia for a good, perhaps maybe, but you can find maybe we've been out of
Yeah, I had a look at IMDb.
She's done like everything from Shorten. She's one of New Zealand's better actors. Yeah, definitely.
She plays this character named Lulu, who's like the matriarch of a gang, and she's hilarious and off the wall and somehow still scary. And like, because I'm from out west, like this kind of has this place in my heart, because like it really reminds me of my high school, kind of, which is really not a nice thing to say. But that woman that she plays, like I have met that woman, I have seen that woman in my local supermarket, like I know that woman.
Yeah.
And it's just like so relatable.
That's the joy of like often watching New Zealand shows or anything like that. So it's often the person I know that.
I know that person. That's my RSA in my hometown.
Yeah,
you know, like that's that. And it's the show is really funny. Like I really enjoy it. I find
laugh out loud properly.
I had a few chuckles,
nice.
And I don't really laugh at much
solid.
Stuff. I'm a cryer, not a laugher. You guys know this about me.
Yeah.
And I find myself like when I'm watching a show, I'm always like, that was funny. Not ha 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 ha, that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the show, I actually like there were bits where I kind of hooted and I was like, this is good.
Has to be quite funny to get an actual sound come out.
Or it's just so relatable that like I'm like ha ha ha, and I fall, or I'm like awkwardly laughing. Sorry, now I'm just reenacting some weird laughs.
That was
out of the blue. I reckon
get the love registers thing moved along.
If you guys would, I reckon everyone should try to check it out, because like we don't watch enough New Zealand programming.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know that I did see Claire before she was before it came out. She was really excited. It was a really great show, really well written.
Yeah.
And it seems to have polarized people. People either really like it or they just don't get it. You know.
Yeah.
But people who really like it really like it.
I always wonder with stuff like this, how well do you think it would do overseas as well?
Oh, it's not the point. It's to entertain you, Tess.
No, but I'm just curious, like how. A TV show, like I feel like this, from what you're talking about, sounds like it would be quite high.
Well,
up there.
I mean, it's like the Almighty Johnsons got picked up by Sci-Fi for their three seasons and played over in America, and like that's pretty blokey Kiwi comedy, from what I remember of it. So like, if it works in overseas audiences, like I don't see why.
I mean, that sort of got blown out of the water by Flight of the Conchords anyway, didn't it? Really?
You know, oh yeah, and the
humour and stuff. So you enjoyed it though?
I definitely enjoyed
it. Have you watched the whole thing?
Well, no. So I was really disappointed because I wanted to binge watch it, and it's only had three episodes out. So the new one is out tonight, I think, or it's just coming out.
Excited for the next episode?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. No, it's a boomer.
Sort of 40 minutes long.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's just super enjoyable. Like, if you don't like Kiwi comedy, then you probably won't like it. But like, just watch it. Try it out. Why is that so
trying to
try new
things?
It's easy
to try it out because on TVNZ.
Exactly. And just because it's not on Netflix doesn't mean it's not good.
And the thing is, like, really, when you think about the stuff that you remember and stuff that you really, really like, is actually mostly Kiwi stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, you know? It's like when you think about the stuff that you really, really liked, you know, there's a lot of really great Kiwi stuff out there, but people are so nervous about giving it a first go, and also they tend to judge it on the first view, the first vibe, you know, that they get off it, or what they hear everyone else say about it, which I think really sucks.
Yeah, I mean, because only people in New Zealand can watch it, but they don't see like the NZ Herald articles or whatever, or stuff posting about like other Netflix shows that blow up. So, like, none of our shows have that viral quality that like we give American or British TV shows.
Yeah.
So we just need to, you know, up our content creators because we want more content from our country, right?
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there are millions of really great brains out there creating stuff. It's just a matter of giving them the opportunity to put it in front of us.
Exactly, yeah. exactly.
Cool. All right. So Fresh Eggs, and it's on TVNZ and TVNZ On Demand.
Yeah. You're going to check it out.
Right on.
Looks good.
That was Viewmaster on 95BFM.
Shell and we are the nut, but I saw a man. like a deity said. Show the ferret to the egg, I'm not getting let alone.
It's Aldous Harding with a track called The Barrel. It's 25 minutes past 9 o'clock. G'day, Steve. Nice to hear from you, buddy. This is Maria Minerva and Chirushi with a track called Out By Myself on BFM Breakfast. Still to come for 10 o'clock. Ready, steady, low.
Headlines.
Atamarie, efai akine. Here are your headlines coming up on the hour. The government is investigating the introduction of a tax on bottled water sold in New Zealand and overseas. Auckland Mayor Phil Gough defends the proposed extension of Queen's Wharf. Algerian President Bouteflika has announced he will not be seeking a fifth term as president. And Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says the state is only of the Jewish people in response to an Instagram post. Whakaronga tonu mai, these stories in full along with weather and surf coming up at 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
And tell us what's on the wire this morning, Oscar. You're in charge.
Yes, I am indeed.
You've got the man on the tiller.
Yeah, I'm the solo wire person today, although we do have content from Mitch, of course, on the green desk. Tune in to find out who he was talking to. International desk has been taken over by myself. And today we
are... Sounds like the whole thing's been taken over by yourself apart from the green desk.
I mean, you're not wrong there. So we're talking about Burkina Faso, which is a West African country, for those who do not know, and it's an ex-French colony. So we're talking about the current kind of situation there and how that has arisen politically and like in their history and how that's affected as to who they are today, and that will hopefully lead to a brief discussion of that piece about centering voices, which is kind of ironic considering I'm the one presenting the piece, but so be it. We have Pippa Coombe returning for the second episode of Board Games, and I think this week we're talking about budget and kind of submissions and what the still kind of what the local board does, still kind of a bit of an introduction. And finally we have possibly the largest interview I've ever done with a man called Owen Gill, who is a public policy man, who is also the author of a book called Turning Point Auckland, which is a book about the state of Auckland and how we can move forward and what we can do to move forward as a country, city, and almost as a country is what he kind of implies. So that will be interesting. That will probably just be the introduction of that, and that may become a series over the next couple of episodes if people are interested. Alternatively, the whole thing will be podcasted, but we talk about kind of finances, Aucklanders, and all the kinds of issues that float around Auckland.
Right on. Okay. Thank you very much. That's all on the wire at midday. Thank you, Oscar.
Up.
it is. Sweet. Let's go.
Cool. I've just got to put my shoes on. And socks, I guess. Probably need a jacket, huh? If it rains. Are we driving?
I thought we could just walk.
Or the bus? Oh, my legs are actually really tired today. Legs are just knackered legs.
Shall we Uber Eats it?
Yes. Yes, please.
It's never been easier to get your favourite pizza delivered. Sal's authentic New York pizza is now available on Uber Eats. Andy ordered today.
Need to get out of town? Skip it. Skip the new low-cost, no-stress North Island Bus Express. Cheaper, faster, funner. Go to skip.travel today.
Hey, Mum, how do I keep on the cutting edge of great new music?
When a DJ loves a record very much, they do a special kind of cuddle.
Never mind, I sorted it out.
The answer to your problems. Follow 95BFM on Spotify for a lovingly curated collection of what's new, what's hot, and what's good in music. March features Susie Analog and Jungle Pussy, Jessica Pratt, Kari Foe, and more. 95BFM's monthly Spotify playlist. Stay au fait.
Radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
Hey, before we get on to Ready City Learn, here's an opportunity Thursday night to reunite with the defined indie band Death Cab for Cutie this Thursday at the Civic as part of Auckland's Art Festival. Tickets from Ticketmaster and nominated for 8 Grammy Awards, including Best Rock Album for 2015. Kintsugi frontman Ben Gibbard and the band's... Best Album for 2015, Kintsugi. Frontman Ben Gibbard and the band's rise from underground darlings to powerhouse hitmakers helped define the head-turning indie music scene of the OOs, and along with it, the soundtrack of an entire generation. That's you. Last seen in New Zealand in 2016, Death Cab for Cutie will bring a deep catalogue of brilliant new songs and greatest hits to the Civic one night only. That will be Thursday night. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster for that.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to Ready, Steady, Learn!
Friends, meet Dr. Muhammad Al-Ansari, who lectures on educational psychology at the undergraduate level and teaches research methods at the postgraduate level. He finished a BA in maths and education, then carried on to do an MA with first-class honours and a PhD in educational psychology, all at the University of Auckland, where he currently works. He was a student here, and now he teaches here, he lectures here, and he's talking about the students that go here, that attend the university. Hi there. How are you, Muhammad?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so you're doing, you've been doing a whole bunch of research on the students that attend the university, or tertiary students.
Yep, because you see, I'm a first-generation student. Mum and Dad didn't go to uni. So right. For me, university is a big deal. So yeah. I spent most of my undergrad on this campus. I've went to every single class. And so when I made it to postgrad, I was like, I want to research why some people like me just don't drop out, and why others just come in first and second year and be like, nah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I started, really.
And you found out some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, because I'm quite interested in the classes that you love the most versus the classes that you hate the most. Why is it that you walk in a class and after one or two lectures, students just stop attending, and then others, they could be run like a three-hour lecture session, nothing exciting is happening, but you'd attend each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So for my research, I looked at something like 1,500 students attending different courses. And I'll tell you what, I went and visited those classes around week 4, week 5, right? There were about 3,000 students enrolled. Guess how many people were there in the class?
10.
About...
about 15.
About 1,300 to 1,400.
Whoa!
That's more than half of the people.
Because
Yeah, so that's more than half the people who just had, they just couldn't make it that day.
Well, I guess some people don't make it all the time, but you would think that that's like, what, 10% of the students?
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, I mean, this is a thing. It's all questionable, isn't it?
So you start off the semester, and I feel like loads of students will be thinking that now and being like, I'm going to be really
just going to go for a quick lime scooter.
This
off
is
to
a
the,
different yeah, semester, you know. Yeah. I'm going to be much better.
I'm going to be better this time. I'm not going to watch any of them online. I'm
going to
be great.
That's
but then, it gets halfway through and it's like...
And I guess it's a combination of things. I mean, most of my research suggests that students feel the pressure around halfway through the semester. A lot of people just don't think that they need to attend lectures. I think these days our students are getting more and more strategic. And so when it's week three or four, they start asking, okay, which class is going to help me for this assignment? Uh-oh, that attendant's got no grades associated with it. Yeah. I can't be bothered coming all the way for
which isn't ideal for full spectrum learning, is it?
But I wonder if it's just a matter of increasing pressure for those students. But I absolutely agree. I think attendance is crucial.
Do you think that the whole concept of full spectrum learning means a lot less?
I wonder if that's the case, but I also wonder if students are just getting far too much information in one go. Because I reckon that we move now from that whole information age to the information overload age.
Absolutely.
In one click,
absolutely,
one Google button, you get to know all these different sorts of information.
Well,
from
you get to read it. Doesn't mean you get
to
know it.
Right? Yeah, so then the question is what to remember, what to process, what to think of, and what to ignore.
Yeah.
And students are just strategic about it, I think. Yeah.
Do you think it's a matter of lecturers or the teaching faculty actually taking that on board and actually sort of alerting the students to the fact, hey, I know you think you're smart by doing this, but you're gonna, you know.
Well, that's the thing.
Or do they need to be retrained as well? Because the future's coming so fast.
I do think that everyone can do something about it. Yeah. I think our teachers need to rethink how they structure their courses in a way that supports students. You can't just present everything as a big mess and expect them to learn it. But also we need to make or prepare our students to become realistic when they come to uni. Yeah. It's not the same as secondary school. You're not going to be fed or spoon-fed everything.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of learning strategies that you need to adopt now.
The students that are at university now, the secondary school experience they had would be vastly different to what's...
Absolutely.
It's moving so fast, isn't it?
There's a big Aussie study that found that students who tend to drop out after first year are the ones who think that tertiary is the same as secondary because their expectations are inept and they never adjusted them. And no one kind of gave them the harsh truth, you need to do a whole lot of things now.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they drop out.
Some of the insights from your research are quite fascinating. Like you're saying, that students who perceive their lecturers... or the lecturers to be ineffective or boring are ones who don't expect to do well in the course, and they tend to rate the course poorly as well. So, which is a bit of a bummer for someone who's born boring.
Exactly what I thought, because it's all of this is a perception. If they perceive you to be in a certain way, all of a sudden they rate you really poorly, and they don't think they're going to do well, and that has detrimental effects.
Probably don't end up going as much.
Attendance drops, and we know when you skip classes, you're not going to learn as much.
You're also saying here that they stop attending the really exciting lectures.
Yeah, well,
so I guess it has to, but they tend to sit around through the boring ones. So I mean,
and I'm not
how do you get that balance right as part of the faculty? You know,
for that I say stay tuned. Because tell you what,
sort of work.